When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue check mark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
This Thursday, April 25th, NBA Playoffs Betting Predictions episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code NBASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, we're also brought to you by our NFL Draft Bingo. Play NFL Draft Bingo for a chance to win a $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app. Welcome, everyone, to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Thursday, April the 25th, here to get into our NBA betting picks for the playoff games here on Thursday night. Three games on the schedule, all game threes, all teams that are up 2-0 headed on the road. We'll see if one of these teams can crack the code and get on the board and win their first game of the series between the Sixers, the Magic, and the LA Lakers. And we'll recap what we saw last night on the two-game schedule in the NBA playoffs. But joining me here to help me break everything down, you guys know him as the voice of the Tennis Gambling Podcast, the WNBA Gambling Podcast, of course, here on the NBA Gambling Podcast and on the MLB Gambling Podcast, Scott Sudarashel. Scott, what's going on, man? How you doing?
They're doing pretty well. A couple of interesting games yesterday. I can't say that there was much drama. I know the Heat pulling off the upset was the shocker of the night, but I don't want to say that it was a wire-to-wire win for both teams, but it kind of felt that way. Oklahoma City was. I mean, they killed the Pelicans the entire way through. The Heat led for a decent portion of that game. They did technically trail at half, but after halftime, they kind of opened up a lead. They shot very well from three, and they ended up leading by, I don't want to say a decent margin, but by enough. Result in a win for the entire second half. Not many lead changes is kind of what I'm trying to say. So I know we're going to dive into both games individually, but I'm hoping that the games tonight are more competitive than the games yesterday.
Yeah. I want to say I got off to a great start last night. I want to say they were either trailing at the end of the first quarter. But
they again, after they one, just... they trailed at the half.
Okay, there we go. That's what it was. So they trailed at the end of first, and they were leading at halftime. And, a lot of people on Twitter that, are NBA junkies and watch, every single playoff game like we do, they were like, this is almost a repeat of what happened last year in the Eastern Conference Finals where the Miami Heat, pretty much the story was they knocked down 23 three-pointers last night. And we mentioned this, that I think we both agreed that there was going to be one game where Miami could steal a match steal a game here, whether that was going to be at home or whether that was going to be in Boston, that we're going to get red hot from three-point land. And it happened in game two for the Miami Heat. So give them a lot of credit for knocking down, again, 23-pointers, something reminiscent of what happened last season in the playoffs, all throughout the playoffs, frankly, for the Miami Heat. So, they got the job done. They did a really good job defensively holding the Boston Celtics to 101 points. They get the victory 111-101. Watching some of the post-game stuff and inside the locker room, I saw a clip this morning, and Eric Spoelstra was really impressed, and I was as well, with the playmaking of what Tyler Hero did last night. And forcing it either, right? He had 14 assists, Scott, for this Miami Heat team, and he really got his teammates involved last night. And it was, honestly... last night, you take a look at the starting five for the Miami Heat yesterday. All five starters were in double figures last night for this Miami Heat team, and that's what it's really going to take for them to, who knows, they could shock the world and win this series without Jimmy Butler. Is it possible right now? They've tied it up 1-1. They still won in Boston. We'll see at home against this Boston Celtics team, but I don't think it's really a surprise that Boston dropped the game here, because we've seen them do it multiple times throughout the season. And but 23-43, 53% from three-point land in Miami gets it done. They're heading back to Miami for games three and four tied up.
Yeah, I think the one thing we got to mention is that for the last couple of years, the Celtics are now, I think it's 13-13 or 13-14 in their last 26 or 27 home playoff games.
Okay.
No, not even. Just as a home team. They're just like 13-13 in their last 26. They can't win home games. I don't know what it is about the Celtics team, but even when they made the finals against Golden State, they had a hard time winning at home too. You might remember they lost that home game to Milwaukee, then they ended up having to go on the road. I think Tatum had like 40 in that game six. But the point is, the Celtics have just not been a very good home team for the last couple of years in the playoffs. I don't really know what that's about, because Boston has been viewed as being a great home court environment for years. The Celtics were very good at home this year. You remember that they were undefeated in their first like 20-something home games. But they just can't win home games in the playoffs. I don't know what the story is, but yeah, Spo had a great game plan. Of course, you know, relying on the three-pointers, going to have some highs and some lows, and they didn't really have a choice. But Miami went nuts from three. They won the game. Porzingis was atrocious. I think he was a negative 30, and it was basically a single-digit game for most of the way through. I pulled it up, though. The Heat led for the final 20 minutes of the game. So there were not many lead changes down the stretch of that game. Hero was fantastic. Bam was great. They both had double-doubles, I believe. Caleb Martin was solid as well. He had a bunch of threes. I don't really understand what Mazzulla was talking about during the actual post-game press conference, because he was trying to claim that his team played, I believe it was moderately to good defense on those three-pointers against Miami. I thought Miami was wide open on like 80% of those shots. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. It looked like Miami was wide open on most of these three-point attempts, and most of them ended up going in. I understand that you can't, of course, rely on hitting that many threes to win games. Like, I understand that, but at the same point, Miami did it last year. So if you want to talk about how to overcome serious talent disparity, you know, against you, you got to rely on three-point variance. And Miami had that going in their favor yesterday. You're looking at the Celtics and what they try to do offensively. And Boston, despite having so much talent, relies so heavily on threes that if they have an off night, they're kind of screwed. They went 12 of 32, so they shot 37.5%. Not bad. But Miami shot 53.5%. In today's NBA, I don't really care who you are. If you attempt 40-something threes and you make over 50% of them, you're probably going to win. But it was most of the post-game press conference quotes that I thought were absurd. And to be honest, kind of offensive. I don't know how you get into the locker room or how you get into the post-game press conference and claim you play decent three-point defense when one team set a franchise record for three-pointers made in a playoff game. I don't know what you're talking about. They were wide open on most of those shots. So I understand Mazzulla didn't want to throw his team under the bus, maybe. But these post-game quotes are just stupid. You can say you didn't play well. You can say you got to improve the defense. I don't know why you're protecting your guys when clearly your three-point defense sucked all night. That's kind of my point. I'm assuming you agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, a lot of those three-pointers, that, like you mentioned, they were a lot of wide-open looks for this Miami Heat team, and they knocked them down. And that was, again, that was pretty much the story last night. And, you know, similar to what we mentioned, what happened last year in the playoffs as well with this Miami Heat team. So they steal one in Boston. They're headed back to Miami for games 3 and 4. I believe that will tip off. Is it Saturday? What's today? Thursday. So I'm guessing it's going to be Saturday for game 3, because you get 2 days off in between traveling from one city to another. So great win for Miami last night. They're on the board heading back to Miami. Second game of the night. Honestly, Scott, I didn't watch a whole heck of a lot of it. I saw the score at the end of the first quarter. I said, okay, he's going to run away with this, so I didn't even bother watching. But absolutely just blow out the Pelicans last night, 124-92 in that game, led by SGA, who had a great game for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Also, Chet Holmgren had a great game, 26 points for Chet, 33 for SGA. Those two combined for 59 of the 124. And like the Miami Heat, Scott, all five starters for the Oklahoma City Thunder in double figures last night. Didn't get much for the bench, but I mean, when your starters have that type of performance, and they also shot the ball well from three-point land as well. Not as great as Miami, but they were 14 of 29 were the Oklahoma City Thunder, shooting it at 48% from three-point land and then 59% from the field overall. So I think this New Orleans team, I think going back to game one for Thunder, maybe a little bit deer in the headlights, because for a lot of those guys, it was their first playoff game and we had those jitters and things like that. But they responded very, very well coming out of the gate here in game two. And it was just a wire-to-wire victory for them. So I don't know if you have much more to add there. I'm going to fix my mic here because I feel like it's cutting in and out while you give your thoughts on the game two.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a game. So it's kind of an oxymoron because the game was over as soon as it started. The Pelicans are just a very dumb basketball team, just simply put. I thought they needed game one, especially with how ugly it was and how they handed the game over on a platter. And they ended up needing game one because they got their asses kicked in game two. Shea was great. He was easily the best player on the court. You could argue him or Chet were the best player on the court last night because they were both fantastic. Chet came out firing early, then Shea kind of closed it late. Mostly in that third quarter, maybe early fourth, but it just felt like the Pelicans really didn't have any game plan offensively or defensively. Mm-hmm. Defensively especially, they just got killed. They were just not able to stay in front of anybody. They had a little bit of success midway through the game, switching to a zone, which made the game somewhat competitive for a little while, and then the Thunder figured it out, and they ended up dominating again. So defensively, the Pelicans were an absolute mess. And that was kind of the story there. Ingram's stat line at the end was okay. He had 18 points in 33 minutes on 10 shots. I thought Ingram sucked last night. I know he had 8 free throws. He made them all. So that was a big reason for that. But
yeah,
Ingram has been getting absolutely killed by Dort. Dort defensively has been incredible at forcing Ingram off of spots, forcing him into some tough overall shots. And Ingram looks extremely passive. It looks like he's terrified of actually attacking Dort. And when Shea goes for 30 and change, and Chet goes for about 25 or 26, and your best player is hiding in the corner on half these possessions, you're not going to win. You're just not going to win these games because the other team's best two players show up. Jalen Williams played well too, so the best three players of one team showed up, and your best player is hiding in a corner. McCollum last night was okay, kind of similar to Ingram. He was 6 of 14. He didn't really do much. They had 7 turnovers combined between Ingram and McCollum. That was really the story of the game. New Orleans had 17 turnovers, and the Thunder had 8. So I do think at the end of the day, I thought Herb Jones was fine. Trey Murphy needs to attempt more than 8 shots. I don't really care. He's too talented to only attempt 8 shots. Mm-hmm. Ingram and McCollum were average, if that's how you want to put it. But they were extremely passive. They weren't really willing to take over the game, and when the other team's best players show up and yours don't, you're probably going to lose. And as an 8 seed, they really needed game one. That was my main takeaway for game two. Oklahoma City, Terrell and I thought would cover. I just don't think this Pelicans team is that good, and I think they need Zion, obviously.
Yeah,
but they are just not a very smart team, and they make a lot of dumb decisions all the time. Good for OKC, though. They showed up. They buried the 8 seed at home. They probably win the series in 4 or 5, but nice job by OKC. We'll see if the Pelicans can do anything. But damn, man, I hated watching this team play basketball last night. The Pelicans offensively and defensively looked totally lost. It was a mess.
I mean, give a lot of credit to Mark Dagnall for making the adjustments last night. Willie Green, this was a few seasons ago when they, what was it, that series against the Phoenix Suns where they got up 2-0? I think the best coaches in the NBA are the ones that make the adjustments.
I think it was 2-1, by the way. I think Pelicans are up 2-1 in that series. But
still. Okay. Are the ones that
make the adjustments.
Yeah. From game to game, especially in the playoffs, right? And I think that there's only you could probably count it on one hand, right? Eric Spoelstra is at the top of the list, I think, for everybody. But I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to that they need Zion out there. It's that simple for this Pelicans team. Brandon Ingram, maybe he's still injured. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's just lazy. I don't know what it is. But the injury could still be. Yeah, it could be all the above. So, I would expect OKC to get this done in 5 games. Maybe Pelicans get one at home. But I think the Thunder get one at home. Thunder get one in New Orleans. And I think they come back for game 5 at home and get this done. I just think that Pelicans are just not talented enough right now to compete with this young talent of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So 32 point victory last night in another game where They were plus 21 from three-point land, similar to what Miami had against the Boston Celtics. So, yeah, pretty good night of hoops last night. We'll continue to hear as well on the Thursday night schedule with three games on the docket here. But, Scott, before we actually get into those games, let me tell everyone about our SGPN NFL Draft Watch Party. The NFL Draft is actually tonight. A lot of people are excited of that, football fans. And, of course, we at Sports Gambling Podcast, we've got you covered with NFL mock drafts. We got draft props for you guys as well. And, of course, our NFL Draft Watch Party. Tune in tonight on the Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page and hang with the guys for the best NFL Draft Watch Party out there. Plus, make sure you guys download the SGPN app for your free shot at winning a $100 SGPN gift card with the NFL Draft Bingo. Also, we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports, and you can win 100 times your money, and it's really a lot of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. New customers get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up. Underdog will also be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and much more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Underdog is also available, like I mentioned, in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada, and they just launch Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So if you're in Florida, get signed up. Make sure you guys use our promo code NBASGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you guys use our promo code NBASGPN. All right, Scott, let's get into the action here for tonight. Three games on the schedule, three home teams, I should say, all that are trailing. 2-0. Two games of nothing, and let's see if they can get on the board here tonight. But we'll start here with the first game. It's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are in Orlando to take on the Magic. Currently, as it stands, the Magic are a 2-point home favorite in this game with a total of 200. Did see Jalen Suggs won't have any limitations. I know it was a knee injury that he did suffer. He did return, but nothing significant for Jalen Suggs. Other than that, pretty much healthy for both squads here. No injuries to discuss here. But, I mean, this game or this series, Scott, you've talked about you've been cashing with the unders in this first two games here. Offense has been atrocious. And if you like to watch your eyes bleed, you should probably tune into this game because there's been a lot of bricks in this game. But what are your thoughts on this game? Magic minus two with a total of 200.
Yeah, so I see a 201.5 available on FanDuel. Okay. Yeah, you can just give me that. I'll just take it. Total last night was 198.5, and it got bet up to 201.5 or 200 in some spots. But I think that's mostly just based on the fact of how the hell can you have a total in the 190s in such a three-point dominant league right now in 2024. So I think that it was mostly just looking at a number going, we can never have a playoff game in the 190s. I think that's why people were betting on the over. I think those people are just wrong. I think this series definitely deserves to be in the 190s. You could argue that it's going to be tough to even reach 190 because we haven't gotten there yet. It's tough for me to assume the game's going to get to 200 when we've yet to even get to about 185 yet. That's a bit of a problem. The Magic can't score. They play in the half court, and you're looking at the options they have. They can't shoot. They don't have any outside shooters on the team besides Gary Harris, I guess, and maybe a little bit of Joe Ingles. But the floor spacing's atrocious. However, they're at home. So if you're expecting a better effort from Orlando, maybe Cleveland struggles offensively. They haven't gotten to 100 points either in the series. So there's really a couple ways to get there. Even if something crazy happens, stay with me. Even if one of these teams reaches 100 points, I know it's crazy. Just stay with me for a second. There's no guarantee the other team's even going to reach 90.
Yeah.
So I can't even consider taking it over if I think one of these teams breaks 100 and ends up with like 103. Until I see both teams reach 100 in a game in this series, why would I assume this is going over 200? These games have been disgusting. They've been on NBA TV, so nobody's been watching them. I don't blame them. I don't think anybody's going to watch this game tonight either. But I guess the argument is Orlando might try to play faster because they can't score in the half court, but I don't really care because Cleveland knows they can't score in the half court. So why would Cleveland want to start a track meet with Orlando? These teams naturally play slow. Cleveland's going to force Orlando in the half court because they've proven that they can stop this team easily defensively when they eliminate all fast break opportunities. Give me the under. I'm going to keep taking the unders until any game goes over, but the idea that you've had back-to-back games in the 180s and this game's in the 200s again, I think is absolutely nuts. I'm going to take the under again.
Yeah, I couldn't talk you off of that. Maybe they're back at home. They're used to the rims at home and they shoot better.
And Cleveland's not, though. That's the problem. These teams could flip. Orlando could score 97 and still find a way to limit Cleveland to like 89.
Yeah, and I tweeted out this during game two. I was like, do we even see the Magic get to 95 points in the series? Through the first two games, they're 17 of 72. 17 of 72 from three-point land. And again, it's the fact that they just don't have the three-point shooting. So this is where your head coach earns their money. What type of adjustments does he make offensively? Defensively, we know, like you mentioned, right? Both teams are, I don't want to say
they were top seven in the regular season.
Yeah. But when you're shooting 23.6% from 3-point land, that's a little bit telling. And we just talked about the last two games where the team that was successful for having a great shooting night from 3-point land really won the game. I know the Miami Heat are going to be outlier because they set a franchise record and hit 23 out of 43, but you got to be better than 17 of 72. Cleveland hasn't been much better. They're 20 of 69 from three-point land as well. So I couldn't talk you off of the under. If you want to take the Magic here, I would look at them early, first quarter, first half. At home, we talked about this very, very early in the season where we were just cashing with the Magic in the first half, that they just come out and play really well in that first half and first quarter. So I couldn't talk you off of that. Being back at home, down 0-2, you have to come out and play with some sense of desperation in this game. So I'm gonna back the Magic. It's gonna be in the first quarter and first half. That's where my money's gonna be. But I'm with you on the under in this game as well. Any player props you're looking at?
Well, I was gonna say we talk about this every year. I know it hasn't been as profitable recently, but it is a trend that we have to at least talk about. Teams down 2-0 in the first half. Historically speaking, they've been very good. Now, the problem you run into is that odds makers have recognized this trend about, the last couple of years.
They've caught up to it, yeah.
They've caught up to it, so the first half spread might seem a bit inflated, and you might be wondering why. It's because this was the main, I'd say, betting trend in the NBA playoffs for a while, and then 10 years ago or so, the odds makers figured it out, and they started pricing it or taxing it accordingly. So historically speaking, it has not worked out as well recently, but historically speaking, the team down 2-0 does perform very well at home in game three historically. So if you want to back the Magic, it probably would be first half, maybe first quarter. You just hope that they come out with energy, and maybe Cleveland's going to be a little bit complacent. They're up 2-0. They figure that Orlando is not a threat to them whatsoever, and then Orlando comes out and punches them in the mouth. You know, that could be a possibility. I agree with you about Orlando first half. I just think that they're going to have to come out with some urgency. In reality, though, I don't think these teams can score, so I just still like the under. That's kind of my main play on this. And if you want to go for some player props, Jared Allen rebounds, I think, is worth a look. He's been fantastic when it comes to actually rebounding in the series. That's kind of why Orlando's three-point numbers are so atrocious and why they've been losing these games. It's because when you have Mobley and Allen patrolling the middle and they're blocking every shot, you're going to force the other team to shoot shots from the outside. And Orlando's not talented enough to make shots from the outside. That's really the story of it, because Orlando is having a hard time of actually getting good looks inside the lane, because you have two skyscrapers and they're blocking every shot and your team can't shoot. That's the main issue, is that Cleveland recognized if we just dominate the middle, then we're going to win the series. And that's kind of something that I overlooked when I was breaking down the series. I focused a bit too much on chemistry as opposed to actual talent. Orlando can shoot better from three, but they're going to need to shoot very well from three, because I think we'd agree with Allen and Mobley just sitting there, they're going to be able to force a lot of difficult drives and potentially some prayer chuck-ups at the rim based on how much size they have on the interior. So if you like Orlando, maybe you want some three-point props. Maybe you want to take Banchero or Suggs because somebody's going to have to hit shots if they want to actually win this game. But Cleveland's defense is kind of set up perfectly right now to stop Orlando because they're daring Orlando to take three-point shots, and they're contested a decent amount of the time. And Orlando's not a great outside shooting team. So I don't mind the rebounds. I like Jared Allen rebounds in this game. I will go back to Isaac, though. I think Isaac defensively can have a solid game. I think he had zero steals but two blocks last game. Mm-hmm. So maybe you want the blocks or the steals. Maybe he has one of those games. But I think Orlando, if they're going to win this game, they have to do two things. One, shoot the three-point ball decently. They don't have to be great, but 23% is insane. And two, they have to force a lot of turnovers. I just think they're going to have to try to force Cleveland to be very uncomfortable, and they're going to have to try to prevent Cleveland from getting into their sets. I would not mind maybe Suggs steals, but I think turnovers are going to be a big story, and three-point shooting, obviously, is going to be a big story. That's the script for me on how Orlando's going to win. They need those two things to go in their favor.
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, the first two games combined 17 of 72 from three-point land for the Orlando Magic, and that's where it's got to start for them. And, you know, we're talking about the first half for teams that are down 0-2 going back at home. The first half spread is -2 in favor of the Orlando Magic, where the full game spread is -2 as well in favor of the Orlando Magic here as well. So, yeah, I think they come out and play well here again behind the crowd. I will look at them first quarter, first half. Player props, I mean, even the guys in the chat are mentioning it. Jared Allen rebounds, so I don't think they can get away from that. I just don't know who's going to be that guy that's going to knock down those three-point shots for the Orlando Magic.
We know Franz can't shoot anymore. So.
Yeah. Maybe it's Banchero. Maybe it's Gary Harris. Maybe Cole Anthony coming off the bench. I don't know. I just don't trust those guys to be consistent from three-point land in this game, or at least for this series as well. I don't have much else for this series, for this game here. Scott, do you have anything else?
I mentioned turnovers before, but I have to bring it up again. Banchero has 15 turnovers in the first two games. Either you bet the over on turnovers, which is going to segue into Cleveland winning, or you think that Orlando wins the turnover battle and Banchero does not turn it over as much. So keep that in mind. I want to know what Banchero turnovers actually are set at. I think it was 4.5 last game, and he still went over. So if you're expecting Orlando to win the turnover battle, then maybe you are expecting Banchero to handle the ball better. I'm not sure how I'm going to bet it, but that's another thing I want to mention. Turnover battle and three-point shooting. Banchero, if he turns the ball over 6+ times in this game, they're going to lose. It's just going to happen. Yeah. So he needs to do a better job of keeping control of the basketball.
4.5 is a number they've adjusted now for
Well, it's 4.5 in game two, so it's basically the same. But
yeah,
I mean, once again, I guess you can lean under if you think Orlando wins the game. Because if he turns the ball over a ton, that implies that the best player in Orlando is still going to suck in this game. And that's probably not a good recipe for them winning. So, yeah, just once again, keep an eye on the turnover battle and keep an eye out for the actual three-point shooting.
All right. Before we get over to the second game of the night here, let me tell everyone about our friend over at AG1. Hey, there's moments and times where you wake up in the morning, you don't feel your best, right? Whether you're not feeling as focused, you're feeling a little bit sluggish, your immune support system is unsupported, and maybe you're feeling a little bit stressed. And when I started drinking AG1, a lot of those things went away. I felt a lot more energized. I could feel a real difference in my daily health. And that's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs, like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously redefining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. And not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I love that every has vitamin C and zinc to support my immune health as well. I recommend AG1 to all my friends and family because, again, AG1 has a team of doctors and scientists that test for 9 different contaminants and NSF certified for sports. It's also formulated based on the latest science and maintains high quality standards. I even got my dad started on drinking AG1 then. And he always tells me how he's feeling a lot better about his health, his gut health as well, his stress levels are feeling a lot more manageable, and that he also feels that he's getting the nutrients that his body needs. So again, if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs when you first subscribe. Go to drinkag1.com/SGPN. That's drinkag1.com/SGPN. You guys, check it out. And we're also brought to you by the Football Contest Proxy. If you're thinking of entering the Circa Survivor or Circa Millions contest, but you don't live in Nevada, it's not a big deal. It's very easy to hire a proxy to submit the picks for you each week for your chance to win millions. Sign up in Las Vegas and then just submit your picks to your proxy. We've partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use your promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off your proxy. That's right. Just go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com. Make sure you guys use that promo code SGP to get $50 off.
When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue check mark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
All right, Scott, let's keep it rolling here. Next game on the schedule, we've got the New York Knicks. They are headed to Philadelphia to take on the Sixers, who are also trailing 2-0. Back at home here. Currently, the spread is -5 in this game with a total of 203. Injury reports, I mean, the same two guys are questionable, but I do expect them to play. 2 days off in between games 2 and 3 here as usual. So an extra day of rest for Embiid and Maxey. He was also dealing with an illness. But desperation mode now for the Sixers, because they lose this game, this series is pretty much over. But they do have a tall task right now of trying to beat this New York Knicks team 4 out of 5 next games. We'll start here tonight. Game 3 in Philly. -5 is the number here, Scott. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I have the Knicks to win the series. I have that in my pocket at like even money or +110 when the lines initially dropped. I am going to pick Philly in this game, though. The Knicks are pretty fortunate to be up 2-0. Now, there's a couple ways to look at it. Brunson was really bad efficiency-wise, and they're still up 2-0. So you can look at it that way. Or you can look at it as the fact that Philly had a chance to win both games. They lost, now they're at home. So I think Philly takes it to him tonight. I think that with an extra day of rest, Embiid and Maxey should look sharp. They were solid in Game 2. They lost anyway, you could argue, based on bad officiating. We're not going to dive into that again. But the point is, Philly had a chance to even up the series or maybe even be up 2-0 going back to Philly. The main thing comes down to the general stigma that role players play better at home. If Philly got any type of role player contribution in Game 2, they're winning that game easily.
Yeah,
Maxey and Embiid really can't play much better than that. They were that good. They combined for 69 points in Game 2, but the role players sucked. Nobody else did anything. And if you're expecting Philly's supporting cast to play better at home, then you think Philly probably dominates this game based on Embiid and Maxey probably looking sharp physically. The Knicks, we know Thibodeau's never going to wave the white flag, so I can't even make an argument. If it's a blowout, do they bench everybody? Because Thibodeau doesn't believe in it. Thibodeau's going to play everybody 40-plus minutes anyway. Maybe Brunson gets going, and I guess that's the equalizer. But so far this series, Brunson has not been great. Even DiVincenzo's been okay. I know he had the big three-pointer at the end of Game 2. He hasn't exactly had a great series. Josh Hart's probably been their best player in the series, at least based on consistency.
Yep.
I am going to lean to Philly in this one. I'm going to buy into the desperation factor and the role players playing better at home. But Maxey and Embiid looked phenomenal in Game 2. There were some injury concerns or some illness concerns going into Game 2, and they passed every test imaginable. So I'm going to lean to Philly here. I think it's going to be close, but I think they win this game by like 9, give or take. Give me the Sixers.
Yeah, I'm all over the Sixers here. I think I might be on them for first quarter, first half, and full game here. I mean, you mentioned it, right? Having the 2 days off in between, that's only going to benefit Maxey and, more importantly, Joel Embiid. But somebody else outside of those two guys needs to step up here tonight, whether it's Kelly Oubre, whether it's Kyle Lowry having that random 30-point game that he has.
once Heald, if he plays.
Yeah, Buddy Heald if he gets more playing time. So those are the guys, I mean, you really need to step up. Or collectively, maybe you have a combination of 4 to 7 3-pointers made between those, you know, a couple of players. So that just helps Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid here tonight. But, you know, the crowd's going to be excited for Philly. You know, it's going to be a crazy environment there in Philly. So I think it's a good bounce back spot here for Philly. I do like them full game here, minus the 5 against the New York Knicks. Jalen Brunson, again, I think the scary part right now for the Sixers is that he's been really inefficient. I don't know if he's dealing with an injury or where the case might be, but there's always a possibility where he just comes out and looks really good, and that could be trouble for the Philadelphia 76ers in this game. But I have full faith that they bounce back here tonight. I think that they'll make the adjustments. And again, having that extra day off, I think, is really going to be key for Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey in this game. So all over the Sixers here tonight. Total's at 203 here. Scott, any thoughts on the total?
I think I'm going to lean over. I don't know why this total's so low. That was one of the things I got right yesterday, was taking the over in the Miami game. Not the way I drew it up, but it just feels like these odds makers are over-adjusting to the low-scoring start of these series. A lot of unders to start. I think unders started 10-4. Recently, we've had a bit of an overrun. I know both games yesterday ended up going over. I'm going to lean over here. I don't know why this line is so low. I feel like with Embiid and Maxey being healthier, or at least healthy for this matchup with the extra day off, we think Philly's offense should look fine. Each of the first two games went over, so I don't really know why this line is so low. I'm going to take the over. We mentioned Brunson before. If Brunson shoots the ball well, the Knicks offensively will play a lot better. And we saw Philly have two great performances for Maxey and Embiid. Their supporting cast did nothing, and we think that they might step up in this game. So I'm going to lean over. I find this line kind of oddly low. I figured after game two landed 205, this game would be like 206.5, 207 maybe. 203 yeah. Feels pretty low to me, though. Once again, the Miami game was the same story. That total's bet down after you had a game two total, a game one total that went over that number, and it went over again. So I'll lean to the over. It feels like the odds makers are now over-adjusting to the playoff atmosphere, kind of daring you to take the overs, and they've been doing quite well. So I'll take the over in this game.
Yeah, I mean, just at some point, you're going to start seeing the regression back to the mean here. And like you mentioned last night, both games did go over the total here. So this number, yeah, this number does feel a little bit low. I'm not sure if I want to, I think that obviously Philly wins to get over their team total right now of 104 right now. And that way they get over the total. And okay, what, they scored 104 last in game two. Or was it, no, they scored 101. Yeah. But they would have gotten probably over that number or close to it if they would have held on to the ball and
if they called the foul,
free throws at the end. Yeah, would have got them over the total. So, yeah, I'd agree with you on the over here at 203. This does feel a little bit low here for this game. Player props, Scott, anything? What are you looking at?
So I think Embiid's going to have a big game. The question is, how do I want to back it? Because if he goes to the locker room, you're going to be really annoyed. I'm assuming you're on his threes again. His over 1.5 threes is at minus 142. He attempted 9 of them. Or do you think he actually goes back to attacking the rim because he might be healthier in this game?
It could be both. I mean, he could still get up the attempts there and still get to the free throw line. And then again, get down on the lower, inside the paint and finish that way, or knock down his mid-range jump shots like he does. I think I'm just more comfortable with just going over 31.5 points for him, despite how inefficient he has been. Like, we know the shot volume and the minutes are going to be there for Joel Embiid, and he's going to take that one. You get that alert, Joel Embiid's headed to the locker room, maybe to get retaped up or whatever the case might be.
Usually after the first quarter.
Yeah. And then he comes back, back on the floor or back in that second quarter. So I think I'll probably pivot away from it, but would I be surprised if he hits another two again? No, because he's getting the attempts up, but I just feel like, I think he, like you mentioned, he has a monster game tonight. So I feel like he's going to get over this number of 31.5.
I find that interesting. Maxey double doubles at 6-1 when he was one rebound away from a triple double last game. I find 6-1 interesting for Maxey double double. I'm not saying he's going to get there, but that price does feel a little bit off to me. Trying to think if there's anything else I'm really tempted by in this matchup. I mean, it really comes down to if you think the superstars show up, because Brunson points, you could argue, is a good buy low spot, or I'm going to wait for him to actually hit some shots before I actually bet him. So Brunson assists, I see it has some value potentially at 6.5 at -105. He's gone over in 8 of the last 10. He's done well historically against Philly when it comes to assisting. I think he's gone over in 4 of the last 5 against Philly. So even though Brunson's shooting has not been great in the series, the facilitating has been pretty solid. Hart rebounds, we talk about every game. I'm not going to tell you once again to change what isn't broken. I mean, Hart rebounds is insane. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I really like. I don't know if I really like much in the player prop realm for this matchup. I see Tobias Harris is 12.5. I'm not going to bet it, so have fun trying to figure that one out, but I just wanted to mention it. Anything else you're really tempted by? Because I feel like you're kind of just guessing which supporting cast guy shows up for this game.
And that's the problem. Like, we're trying to figure out which one shows up. I was trying to pull up the 3-point props for some of these guys on the Philadelphia 76ers. It's Kyle Lowry's at 1.5, Batum's at 1.5 at +130. But again, I just feel like it's going to be another masterclass by Joel Embiid and Maxi, and then it might just be a collective effort between Kelly Oubre, Kyle Lowry, maybe Tobias Harris, but somebody needs to step up. So I don't want to play the guessing game and just give out props that we're not confident about, but I think you and I both feel strong that Joel Embiid has a huge game here tonight for the Sixers here tonight. Anything else you got for this game?
Not really. Should be a fun game, but I think Philly wins this game and makes it a series. I mean, if they lose this game, it's over. So.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. All right, last game of the night. We've got the LA Lakers back home, trailing 2-0 as well, with the Denver Nuggets as a 1-point favorite in LA here tonight. Scott, total is 216.5. There was some news. I don't know if it makes a huge difference or not, but you should mention it that Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt were supposed to be back for this game. They will not be. Not much of a needle mover for me, but I think Vanderbilt would have been important on the defensive side for sure. But it's just, again, the theme has been which role player is going to step up at home, because LeBron and especially AD have been incredible in the first two games for this Lakers team. And you also kind of wonder, what's the psyche right now? What's the mentality of this Lakers team right now? You're up by 20 points, you blew the lead, and you lose the game on the last possession at the buzzer on a phenomenal shot by Jamal Murray to give the Denver Nuggets a 2-0 lead in the series now. But again, this game. I mean, I keep saying that this game is it. This game is it for the Lakers. But truly, in fact, I think they already have a tough hill climb trying to beat the Denver Nuggets for the 5 games, but it's going to be nearly impossible if they lose here tonight, having to win 4 straight. So it's do or die tonight here for the Lakers. Lakers catching a point at home here. Scott, what are you thinking?
The problem that I have with the Lakers, and I understand why this line is close, you can look at the first two games in Denver kind of two ways. One, the Lakers can actually hang in there, and they've made the games competitive for the most part. Two, no matter what the script is, they always lose to Denver. The Lakers had a perfect script in game two. I said this when we did the recap for game two. AD was great in both games. LeBron had a turn the clock back game, and he was phenomenal. I know he missed the 3-pointer at the end, but he was still great for most of the game through. D'Lo shot the ball very well from three, and Murray sucked for 3 quarters, and they still lost. Like, I don't know how you lose that game. You're up 20, got everything you possibly wanted, and you still lost the game.
Yeah,
I can't pick the Lakers to win, even though it would make a lot of sense if they were able to pull this off, because they were competitive in Denver. Now they are going back home and people are expecting them to win a game or two in the series. I might be one of them, but at the same point, I can't bet them. If we're talking about the purpose of actually gambling and making money, you've lost 10 straight to this team. This team owns you. If the Lakers win tonight, would I be shocked? No. Am I betting them with actual money to win? No, because they can't beat Denver. I'm not going to suddenly tell you this is the time where they finally pull it off. If they do, good for them. I'm not betting on it. I'm not betting on Darvin Ham to make adjustments when I don't even know what adjustments you even make. Because you were up 20. What adjustments can you possibly make? Like, you had all you wanted and you still blew the game. I think for this one, if I'm going to take the Lakers, you said it before, take the Lakers early, first half, maybe first quarter. If you want to go for a fun prop, you can get Lakers to lead at halftime, Nuggets to lead at the end of regulation. That's +420. I think that's a pretty standard opinion. Lakers start early. They choke the game away again. and Denver wins. The problem I have with the Lakers every time against this team is the fact that with Joker as the main offensive catalyst for the Nuggets, they will always get better shots than their opponents. Every time. Yeah. The shot selection that the Nuggets get is the best in the entire league because they have one of the most selfless and best passers to ever play the game. And Joker can take over offensively. We saw him have like 20 points in the second half against the Lakers. I forgot how many points he had. He decided, I'm going to take over and I'll do it my way. Or I'm going to get 10 assists in the first half and he can't do anything about it. The problem is he can't guard Joker. And Hams mentioned this. He's like, I don't know what we're supposed to do with him. You're not alone. Nobody in the league knows what to do with Joker. But the problem I have with the Lakers is that with their older core, if they're going to be forced into a physical game that's kind of back and forth, and AD and LeBron have to. They have to play 40-plus minutes. Your supporting cast is not good enough. Get Dinwiddie off the damn court. You need LeBron and AD to play a bunch of minutes. At this stage in their careers, that's going to lead to a couple of, I'd say, gassed moments or fatigue moments late in the fourth quarter. And that's where Denver capitalizes. And I just think Denver in crunch time is the best in the entire league. And the Lakers have had some hard times in crunch time against this team. So if I had to pick a long shot play, give me Lakers first half, Nuggets full game at about plus 420.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I think that, again, this is another game where I think Lakers come out and play well, because if they don't come out and play well in that first quarter, first half, it's going to be really difficult to beat this Denver Nuggets team. And they've done that in both of the first two games in Denver. They just haven't been able to finish, especially in the second half, where offensively they just have not been very good. It's just been that, that's just been the fact of that. So if I'm betting the Lakers, and I will be on their first half spread again, because again, they've been great in the first half. It's just when it comes to the second half, they just absolutely just disappear. And that's where your stars, LeBron and AD, need to take over the game for you. I do expect, again, we talked about in the Sixers game, somebody to step up offensively for this Lakers team at home. I think we could probably zero on it. Is that going to be Austin Reaves here tonight or Rui Hachimura for them? My guess would probably be Austin Reaves, that he has a more complete game. But they're also going to need D'Lo to repeat the performance that he did have in game two, where he did bounce back after an atrocious game one. So if he's able to do that and just kind of take that pressure off of AD and LeBron like he did, and again, find ways to finish the game, that's the key for the Lakers. If they get out to that lead again, you have to find a way to finish the game, because this series should be 1-1 at minimum heading back to LA here tonight. But we'll see if they can get it done.
Psychologically, you got everything you wanted and you lost again. You've lost 10 straight to this team. I don't know at some point if you're up a decent amount again and Denver starts to make a run. You're up 15. Denver goes on like a 6-0 run. Mentally, I got to assume you're thinking, here we go again. Yeah. At this point, they just own your franchise. And I understand if people are expecting the Lakers to have a good effort at home, they're going to come out urgency. I get it. They've been coming out with urgency. They're still losing these games. We saw Denver sweep this team. They won both games on the road against the Lakers last year. So I understand if you want to take the Lakers, I can't do it. If you lose 10 straight to a team, I'm not going to put my own money on betting them to buck the trend. If they do and you bet it, then congratulations on winning. I can't bet against Denver against the Lakers. They just own this team. I can't do it. I'd rather pass than actually bet money on the Lakers.
Total 216.5. Any thoughts on the total?
This one's a bit tricky because you've seen two different type of games. Game one was very open and you had a lot of offense. Game two was an absolute rock fight. I think I'm going to lean under. I think the Lakers have a better chance at winning the uglier the game gets. If you get Denver in half court, you're just going to lose. Like, if you get Denver, with the up-tempo style, you're going to lose, because I just think that Denver does such a good job of taking advantage of guys who on the other team are potentially slow to get back on defense. And we saw that in game one. LeBron was hunched over. AD was hunched over. And you saw 5-on-3 going the other way. The Lakers, I think, have to make the game as ugly as possible. They have to try to result, or at least get moments in the half court where you get AD and LeBron going against Joker, trying to make something happen there. The Lakers really should want the game in the half court. I think you'd agree with that, because the Nuggets' up-tempo style of play is just so difficult to handle because Joker is such a good passer. I'm going to lean under. I think you have to make the game ugly if you want to have a shot to win it, so I'm going to lean under.
Yeah, I think this has been a game or a series, and going back to the regular season, that the Lakers have been a fast-paced team and an over team in the first half of games. They were one of the best in the entire league at that. To the over, I think if they do come out and play well, they offensively will be in that first half. So I'd look at first half over, or a Lakers team total over in the first half is what I'll be looking at. But yeah, I think you're correct that if the Lakers want to win this game, it would have to be somewhat ugly like it was in game two, where that final score was, what, 101-99, or the score, yeah. Final score ended up being. But yeah, I'll leave first half over, Lakers first half team total over, because I feel like they've gotten over their team total in the first two games in that first half. So I think they come out and shoot the ball well and, you know, try to create that separation in the first half like they have in the first two games of this series thus far. Player props here, Scott. I'm going back to Anthony Davis. It's at 25.5. He's at 32 in each of the first two games. Shot volume is going to be there for him. We know that. He's been efficient, and the minutes are going to be there. And he also had 2 days off in between games as well. That bodes well, obviously, for LeBron as well. But I think AD has been absolutely phenomenal for this Lakers team in the first two games. So they're going to need him again here tonight. I'm looking at AD over 25.5 points as my first player prop.
Yeah, I'm not going to get in your way for that. AD's been very good so far in the series. I think if I was going to go anywhere for this actual matchup, I'm going to start off with Joker. Rebounds, potentially. I know he had 20 last game. I'm expecting a lower scoring game, so maybe the rebounds will be there. I had triple-double last game, which got there. He had 27, 20, and 10. But Joker triple-double is always intriguing, because anytime you think you actually can come up with a game plan for Joker, he sees it once and he knows exactly what to do against it. So it's kind of tough to actually handle a basketball savant like that. So I think Joker triple-double is appealing. I got there last game, so I'm kind of just rolling it over. But his triple-double is plus 170, which I am tempted by. He's done it pretty regularly against the Lakers, actually. And you're going through the last couple of playoff games. Didn't he average a triple-double against the Lakers last year in the playoff series?
I would be shocked if he did. I'll look it up here. Let me see.
I mean, to go through the last couple games, though, he had a triple-double last game. He had a triple-double in I'm going through the playoff games from last year. Yeah, he had a triple-double in three of the four playoff games last year, one out of the two this year, and it's plus 170. I think that's a good deal, so I don't mind Joker triple-double. I like the rebounds, too, so maybe rebounds and assists if you want to kind of combine the two. LeBron assists, I think, might be appealing. If we're picking AD to have a monster game offensively, LeBron's setting him up in pick and roll. So I don't mind LeBron over assists, maybe LeBron double-double. LeBron can put up a decent stat line. He might not hit the shot at the end of the game, but his stats will be good for through 3.5 quarters. So I don't mind LeBron flirting with a triple-double in this game in a must-win contest. Maybe LeBron shows up and has a nice overall game for assisting. I don't mind that either. For the I'd say secondary pieces, Reggie Jackson is still one of the worst players in the entire league as far as I'm concerned. You can take his unders if you want. Dinwiddie, I saw his points, rebounds, and assists are set at 4.5 combined. 4.5. I don't mind the under on that. I think Dinwiddie shouldn't be on the floor. I know 4.5 is insane because he hits like two shots, you lose automatically, but he shouldn't be on the court. Just simply put, he's a terrible basketball player. I know I've been mentioning that a lot of people belong in China at the stage in their careers. Dinwiddie's not an NBA player. I think you'd agree with that. At this point in his career, he's completely washed. He can't play in the NBA. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I've never been a Spencer Dinwiddie guy. He's just very,
At least he used to be like tolerable. He had moments where at least he can give you like an isolation bucket or two. He can't move. He can't play anymore. Him and Reggie Jackson, take the unders and have a good time.
Just to go back to last year, Nikola Jokic against the Lakers, 27.8 points, 14.5 rebounds, and 11.8 assists. Had triple doubles in three out of the four games last year against the Lakers in the playoffs. So just been absolutely dominating against this Lakers team over the course of the last 10 games at minimum. Any of the other player props looking at?
So I see Ryan's telling me that Reggie Jackson points are at 2.5. That I'm not going to take. If I was going to take something for Reggie, it'd be like all the above, points, rebounds, and assists. But what'd he take? He took 5 shots in like 7 minutes in game 2. He went 0-for-5, but yeah. When he took 5 shots in like 7 minutes, the problem's volume. Dinwiddie's not even shooting. So that's kind of why I prefer Dinwiddie unders, because he can't even create separation to even shoot the ball. Reggie gets a grenade or two per game, so he might be actually chucking some shots at the end of shot clocks. Dinwiddie, I know Darvin Ham's a terrible coach, I get that, but at some point you got to realize Dinwiddie should not see the floor. At some point, he's played like 10 minutes the first 2 games. I don't know how many shots he's even attempted. Has he attempted a shot in the series?
So I was looking at Reggie Jackson right now. He's played 9 minutes in both of the first 2 games. One of 9 combined in those 2
points
games.
Point is that they're 9 shots. So if he hits 1-3, you lose automatically. I'd rather not take the points there. Dinwiddie, I'm not sure if he's attempted a single shot.
23 minutes combined in the first 2 games, Scott. I'll let you guess on how many shots he's attempted.
I know he had 0 in game 1. I think it's 0.
He attempted 1.
Damn.
In game 2.
Okay. I didn't realize he attempted 1, but you get my point. Yeah. I'd rather take Dinwiddie unders than Reggie Jackson, because at least Reggie Jackson's going to keep firing. Dinwiddie's not even looking at the rim. I actually don't even know what he's been doing in the series. What has he been doing?
Maybe getting D'Lo some time on the bench, some rest, get a breather, and then
I get the argument that's of why he's on the court. I'm just saying
he's getting his cardio
based
in.
On watching him play. If he's not going to shoot, he can't guard anybody. What exactly is he doing on the court besides getting cardio in?
He needs to make sure he gets a shower after the game, that he's just not sitting there on the bench.
Your Bitcoin's down, so he's trying to work a bit more to get another contract, you know. But we'll see. But I'd rather have Dinwiddie unders than Reggie, because Reggie's going to keep shooting. If he makes 1, you'll be annoyed at it. Dinwiddie's taken 1 shot in 2 games.
You said his PRA is 4.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll still play the under on it.
I can't take an over on Dinwiddie. Yeah. He should argue 10 minutes is like 5 minutes too many.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all I have for this game. You have anything else?
I just find the total weird at 216.5, because game 1 was more up-tempo. We saw a crazy first half in that game. The last 6 quarters have been kind of disgusting. Mm-hmm. And even game 1 with the, what was it, like 117 points in the first half?
Yeah.
That game still landed at 217.
Yeah.
So that game barely
that's why
went over
the first
anyway.
Half over. Yeah.
Yeah, but I get the point. But my point is, you've had 6 straight quarters of ugly basketball, and the total is basically where game 1 landed, with 117 in the first half. I like the under again. I think the total's too high. I think you said before you agree with me, the Lakers have to play in the half court. They have to. Because if they let the Lakers run, this Lakers team's older, and if you want to let LeBron and AD sprint back on fast break defense, have fun trying to outlast Denver in 48 minutes. You're going to lose. Like, you have to play in the half court. You don't have a choice.
Last year, I should say, Western Conference Finals in LA. Final scores were 119-108 and 113-111. So they did go over, but obviously different styles, different teams this year as well. But just wanted to point that out. All right, Scott, let's get into our lock and prop. Or if you have a dog you want to throw out, I'll give you the option for the games here for tonight. Where are you going with your picks?
All right. So for the lock, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. Give me the under in the Magic game at 201.5. It's tough to not take an under in the 200s when neither game's reached 190 so far. You know how many teams have scored 100 points in this series? 0. So with that being the case, I believe the last time I checked, I'm not a math expert, so you can correct me. If the game's going to go over 201.5, at least one team has to score 100 points. I'm not a math expert, but that checks out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds right. So until one team scores 100 points, I'm not going to assume this game gets over 201.5. So give me the under. I'm going to keep taking the under in the Magic games until any game goes over. So give me the under there in the 200s as my lock. For my prop, I have a couple of options here. Joker triple-double is interesting, but I might be tempted by LeBron assists. I want something in that Denver and Lakers game, though, because since it's going to be in the half court, I do think there's some room to actually guess a game script. I mean, Dinwiddie under 4.5 is hilarious if I wanted to actually go for that as like a joke prop, but I do like it. I think for this one, I am going to go with Joker. I think he's in one for a big game. I want to quickly see what the rebounds and assists are. It might be a massive number, so I have to actually just see what it's at. But let me just quickly see what his number is for this one. Joker, it's going to be high, but I just want to see what it's at. It's at 21.5.
Yeah, that was going
to
be my
guess. Sounds right to me. I just want to see what the actual price is on that one for the over out of curiosity. It's probably going to be juiced.
I see 122.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Am I better off taking that or the triple-double at plus 170? I mean, 170 is safer, but Joker's rebounds have been really solid in the series. I think for this one, I'm going to go with the rebounds and assists for Joker at 21.5. He had 30 last game. I think he's in line for a good showing again. I think the rebounds are going to be able to get him to probably 15 alone, and we think that Joker has a very solid chance of getting double-digit assists. I can't take his rebounds, though, because they're at 13.5, so that's a little bit high for me, but give me Joker over 20... What did I say was that? 22.5?
21.5.
21.5? Okay, yeah, I'll take
the rebounds and assists.
Yeah, I'll take the 21.5 at minus 122 for Joker rebounds and assists combined.
All right. For my lock, I'm going to go with the Sixers, man. I'm going to lay it here with the Sixers, minus 5.5. The number's on the move now. I think they do get it done here tonight against the New York Knicks. Get on the board with the win in this series. I think, again, it'll be led by Joel Embiid, of course, like we talked about. He has that extra day off here. Should only benefit him, of course. Somebody... We'll find out at the end of the night who stepped up outside of Maxey and Embiid in this game to propel them to the victory here tonight. So Sixers minus 5.5 for me. My prop, I'm going to go with AD again. I really like that. Over 25.5. He's been dominant in the first two games. Efficient. Been playing the minutes. Been getting the shot volume as well. So I think AD has another big game here tonight for the Lakers. Let me just make sure that's an updated number because I was looking at this. last night and the prior night where the props had dropped. Yeah, I still had 25.5. So there you go. That's my prop for tonight. All right, so one more order of business here. Let's put together our underdog fantasy entry here for tonight. Again, underdogfantasy.com. Make sure you guys use our promo code NBA SGPN. And if you're in Florida, they have launched the champions format as well, player versus player. So again, make sure you guys get over there just for an account using our promo code NBASGPN. All right, Scott, where do we want to go? We just want to put our prop picks in there.
Sure.
With Jokic and AD. So let me just make sure they have the numbers that we're looking for. All right, so we'll start it off here with Nikola Jokic. Let me get to the game.
Well, I'm going to ask you, for underdog, do you prefer the rebounds and assists, or do you prefer the triple-double spicy?
What did you say what the triple-double price was? Plus 170?
It was about 170, give or take.
Yeah, they have it at 1.5.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and their rebounds and assists are at 22.
Okay, 22 I don't want. So... Okay. Do they have Dinwiddie for jokes?
Let's see.
Probably not, because it's only on one book. I think Ben and GM's the only book that they have it. They do.
Yeah, 4.5. So ERA.
4.5? Yeah, let's take a lower on Dinwiddie. Let's have some fun.
All right, we'll go with that. And then let's see if they have Reggie Jackson as well. But he's shot
by... I don't know if I want Reggie, because he actually shoots.
Yeah. All right, we'll pivot away from that. I'll throw in AD. His number is at 25.5. And then you want to go like Jared Allen rebounds or something from that, from the other two games, or Embiid points.
Embiid points, I don't mind, unless you want something in that Cleveland. I mean, Allen rebounds would be the only thing I'd really be tempted by to put in an underdog entry for that matchup. I'll let you pick. Do you want something with Embiid or something with Allen?
I think it's probably Embiid for me. I just think that the volume is definitely going to be there for him, and the minutes are going to be there for him as well. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he has 40 tonight for the Sixers here tonight. So his
points right now. Do you want to take Embiid first quarter points?
It's at 9.5. I was going to ask you that. What do you think?
I mean, I don't mind it. If we think he's going to get to potentially 35 or 40, he plays the entire first quarter. So he's going to be playing 12 minutes, right?
Yeah. Let's throw it in there.
I'd rather take first quarter because you might get injured in the second half. I'd rather just bet it early.
All right, so we'll go with Embiid in the first quarter, then 9.5 on the higher. All right, so our entry here for tonight, Spencer Dinwiddie, PRA, lower 4.5. Anthony Davis, higher 25.5 points, and Joel Embiid, first quarter points, higher 9.5. That $10 entry will get you a return of $60 if they go 3 for 3. If you want to be a coward and take the flex, if you get 2 correct, you'll get a $10 return plus your 10 eventually. But if you go 3 for 3, we will get that $60 return here tonight for our underdog fantasy entry. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast. Scott, anything else you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, not really. Should be an interesting group of games tonight. Hopefully they're more competitive than the games yesterday. And besides that, no. Let's make some money tonight.
Yeah, make sure you guys follow Scott on Twitter. That's at Reichel Radio. You can follow me there as well at SportsNerd824. You can also follow the NBA Gambling Podcast Twitter account at SGPNNBA. And if you haven't already subscribed to the NBA Gambling Podcast YouTube channel, please go ahead and do so. Just do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button. Leave your lock-in prop in the comment section there. I want to see what you guys are betting there as well. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow for the Friday games in the NBA playoffs. So look out for us then. Same place, same time. Till then, good luck with your bets here tonight. Let's break these books off and let it ride. Basketball, get it.